2 Corinthians chapter 2, for those that may not know, what our bent is here is we desire to go through the Bible verse by verse. And so that's our heart's desire is to teach the whole counsel of God. So on Sunday morning, we're going through the book of 2 Corinthians. On Sunday evening, this afternoon, we will be in Psalm chapter 19. We've been going through the Psalms. I don't know if I'm going to do all 150 at this time, but Sunday morning, we normally what I do is Sunday morning, Sunday night, I do New Testament. And then Wednesday night, I do Old Testament. So on Wednesdays, we're in Esther. We'll be in Esther chapter 4. And so normally, I go through Old Testament on Wednesdays, New on Sunday morning, Sunday night. We happen to be going through the book of Psalms. But here's why. We're going to go verse by verse through the Bible because it keeps me honest as a pastor. And I want you, one of my objectives when I preach and teach is I want you to learn and know how to study the Bible yourself. Here's the reality. This is absolutely the reality. There are people that you've gone to church all your life, but you don't know much. Let me give you an example. What would you think if you had a baby and they're ready for school and you said, I'm only going to send them to school 1 hour a week. But in 13 years, they'll be ready. Those that come to church on Sunday morning only, they're getting 1 hour a week. And they think they're Bible scholars. After a while, here's what I tell folks. The best you're going to get, let's say I'm the greatest preacher in the world, which I'm not. But let's just imagine I was. The best you'll get by listening to my preaching is you'll get some general truths. The way that the Bible is going to become specific to you is you got to open it yourself. You got to read it yourself. You got to study it yourself. You got to ask questions yourself. And text me. Ask me questions. I'm not saying I have all the answers, but we'll find them out together. It's got to be personal. It has to be you opening up and devouring the Word of God. Now, I love the Lord establishes churches, and the Word of God and Jesus Christ are to be preeminent. But I'm telling you, it has to be personal. I'm not that good. You've got to make it personal. Get in the Word of God yourself. But I love teaching and preaching the Word of God. So now, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, let me just give you a little background, and then I'll jump into the message here. We got Paul, he's writing to this church that he so loves, that God used him to establish and start, and he loves them. They were established in about 50 A.D. He wrote 1 Corinthians in about 55 A.D., and he wrote 2 Corinthians in about 57 A.D. So near and dear to his heart. 1 Corinthians, I've said this many times, is probably a church none of us would ever want to be part of. But they had a lot of problems, and Paul addressed them all, and it was a fairly rough epistle, a rough letter that he wrote to them. Well, 2 Corinthians is Paul really just kind of opening up himself and sharing his heart with them, and we'll see that again this morning. So what he was addressing early on in 2 Corinthians is, remember, he told them at the end of 1 Corinthians, he says, I'm going to come. I'm going to come through Macedonia. I'm going to come down into Greece, and I'm going to come and visit you, Lord willing. I don't think they heard the Lord willing, and so they accused him of lying. There were people that always wanted to discredit Paul, and they wanted the preeminence, and so Paul was defending himself. And then he said, I'm glad I didn't come for your sakes, because he wanted their confidence to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in him. You see, I want your confidence to be in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in me. I don't want to win you to Hope Baptist Church. I want to win you to Jesus Christ. That's critical. I think we ought to love our church. Absolutely. But love Christ, you see, and that's what will help us, right? If anyone that goes to church long enough, you're going to get hurt. And so what keeps you then saying, you know what, I'm going to do what's right because I love Jesus Christ. When I meet someone and they say, you know, I just don't go to church anymore. And they have a very legitimate hurt, a very legitimate pain. The problem is they didn't learn to love God's ways enough. Their pain overcame their love for Jesus. If you love Jesus enough, you'll do things His way. And that's important for us to do. And so Paul said, I'm so glad that I didn't come so that your hope would be in Jesus Christ, your hope would be in His promises, and your hope would be in the Holy Spirit that seals us. You see, the reason I stay saved, it's not because of me. The reason I will always be a Christian once I gave my life to Jesus is not because of my goodness, but because the Holy Spirit seals me and He says, I guarantee it. You know, we remember the Men's Warehouse that no longer The guy doesn't do that anymore, but, you know, he said, "You'll love this suit, I guarantee it," right? He didn't know this Halls, right? We never did go get a suit there, but if we did, I'm sure it would have been free. We would have found something wrong, I guarantee it. But the Lord, when the Holy Spirit guarantees something, it's permanent. And Paul said, "I want your hope to be in Jesus Christ, God's promises, and the Holy Spirit." Then it was, I loved it. I loved the passage last week. It dealt with the process of reconciliation. Very tender process. Probably one of the heaviest messages I've preached in a while, because it really lays a lot of responsibility in our laps as Christians, does it not? Because we've learned to avoid people rather than make things right. See, it's just, you know, I just stay away from them. And what the Bible says is, no, if we have an issue with people, we've got to make it right with them. And that is very difficult. Remember it said, first you must confront them. Many of us are good at that. But Paul said, I only did it once. You know, once I confront somebody, it's boom, boom, boom. I just beat them, right? And he said, I only did it once. And then we've got to remember, why do we confront? Because we love them. And you see, we forget that. We get so upset, we get so angry that we forget it's because we love them. And works through the process. And remember verse 11, and then we'll jump into the passage here. He says that we need to forgive, we need to comfort, love, and forgive. He says in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 2, he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You understand this? It's a big deal. The Lord tells us in His Word that if we don't make things right, if we don't reconcile, if we have angst, if we have issues, if we have grudges against one another, then what He says is we give Satan an advantage. I didn't say that. The Bible does. That's a big deal. But Paul continues today. We're just going to go read verses 12 through 17. And Paul's explaining to them, because not only to talk about reconciliation, remember they had a young man that fell into the grave sin that was addressed in 1 Corinthians 5, but it looks like that young man repented and made things right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. But Paul then continues to explain his journey, why he's not with them yet. Now let's look at verse 12. He says here, furthermore, when I came to Troas, now Troas, just so you know, Troas is kind of in modern day Turkey, so I'm going to do it so that you can see it. So modern day Turkey. So if he swings over, he would go over to Greece, and then if he went further west, I'm trying to do it in your, he would go toward Italy, right? So Turkey, and then so Troas is on the western border of Turkey today. So if you're wondering, so when he says he goes to Macedonia, he's going over toward where Greece would be, where Corinth would be, and more toward Italy in that way as well. So just, okay, enough. So verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, verse 13, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now, title of the message this morning, Victory in Failure. Now, I'll try to explain where I get that title and where I get the thought this morning. You see here in verses 11 and 12, you see Paul talking, and just let's read again verse 12 and 13, excuse me, verse 12 and 13 says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. So Paul gets to Troas and he says, the Lord opened a great door. It was the Lord that opened the door. When the Lord opens the door, it's a door that we would lift up Jesus Christ, that we would tell the world the only hope that they have, and that's in Jesus. So that's the door that's open. Now look at verse 13. But he says, I had no rest in my spirit. Why? Because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now, here's what's interesting. I believe what Paul's saying here is, And then when he says this, he says now in verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. I believe when Paul speaks of triumph in verse 14, I believe because in verse 12 and 13, that door was opened and he walked away from it. Now let's be clear, Paul was not perfect. Paul still was in the flesh. You understand, when we're saved, we're given a new man. The new man doesn't sin, but we have the old man, this flesh, and we battle until the day we go to the grave. The only time we'll ever have a body that's sinless is when we get the new body at the resurrection. You see, but this body is our enemy. That's why the Bible says mortify the flesh every day. We've got to discipline ourselves and kill the flesh every day. Otherwise, we'll live for me. And so Paul says this door was open, but he had no rest because he didn't find Titus. Now, there's some commentators that would take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and he was ultimately reunited with Titus. Titus had been in Corinth. And so Titus then came and gave Paul some good news, some good report, that the church at Corinth had received that first letter that we call 1 Corinthians, and they responded to it, and they were doing what was right, and he was very excited about that. Well, I don't think that's the case. Here's what I think Paul's doing. I think he's simply saying, he's detailing his life, and the Lord's allowing that. He said, I went to Troas, a door was open, but I didn't find rest. Titus wasn't there, so I left. Here's the first thing we need to understand in failure, is we must admit our failures. You see, this is tough, right? I mean, the number one reason that people give me why they don't tell other people about Jesus is because they don't think they know enough. Because they think they'll mess it up and they think they'll fail is what they're saying, right? Nobody thinks, I'm ready, right? And now here's the reality. Or, as Paul, you see, I think Paul did fail here. I think the Lord highlights it because then verse 14 is very encouraging because every single person in this room, if we're honest, there's no goodness in us. You know, there's no success in us. You know, Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law, I shall meditate on this book day and night. I wrote it down. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate therein day and night, that I may observe according to do, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. It's the only verse the Bible has the word success in it. You know what the word success means in Joshua 1:8? It means act wisely. You know, I can speak to men. Men, we always are trying to be, we're trying to win. We're trying to be successful. We're trying to make our mark. We're trying to leave a legacy. And, you know, I can't see that I'm living for a legacy. I'm living for Jesus Christ. I'm living for His legacy. I'm living to lift Him up. I'm not worrying about a Steve Hall legacy. If all I want people to remember is I want them to remember Jesus Christ. That's all I want them to remember. He's the only legacy that matters. But you see, we all fail. And the struggle is, right, we either say, you know what, I'm not ready. Or we have failed and go, you know what, you know, I've been there, I was burnt before, I'm not doing that again. So Paul, here he failed, he could wallow in his failures and say, and this is the great apostle that the Lord used to give us 2/3 of the New Testament, he could say, I'm a failure, I quit. And look, I'm telling you, I know, I'm all or nothing. When I'm in, I'm in. When I'm not, I'm not. And so I fight this. I fight. Why am I pastoring? What am I doing? This passage is so great. You just wait to wait the way this passage finishes. It'll deal with us all, and it'll deal with us what success is, and you and I, we can have success this morning in Christ. I want you to understand that life is about failing. The only way we can succeed is in Christ. Now that brings us to verse 14. We've got to remember that God is the cause of our victory through Christ. Look at verse 14. He says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. You see, this is what I want you to understand. We focus on us way too much. We're worried that we might fail. We're worried how we might look. And I think ultimately when we use the word failure, I think it's probably the pride of life. It's we're worried about how we're going to look versus, you know what? I'm going to serve the Lord and trust the Lord, and my victory's in Christ. And I love this because it says, now thanks be unto God, which causes us to triumph in Christ. It's the Lord that causes us to triumph in Christ, and we can do that. Look what it says in verse 14. Do you get this? And makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. That savor, that's a perfume, that's a sweet smelling savor. You've heard that elsewhere in the scriptures. God makes us smell good. Spiritually. You see, he causes us to triumph, and he makes us smell good. And I believe that. You know what I must do? God doesn't call us to success. God calls us to obedience. He just says, just obey me. Just trust me. Don't worry about failing. I'm the one that's triumphed. I'm the one that's conquered. Will you trust me? The average person that claims the name of Christ, we're so worried about doing the wrong thing. And Mikey, I'm going to use you. We were out Wednesday night, and Mikey was with me, and I love this. I love where Mikey's at. He's in a good place, and I want to help him. I want to come alongside him. And we were door knocking, and so going door to door, you know, telling folks about the gospel and Jesus Christ. And first we tell them about the law, the bad news, and then we give them the good news of the gospel. And so I said, Mikey, you want to take a door? You ready to take a door? And he goes, wow. No, not tonight. And I asked him, I said, well, is it because of me? And because, you know, sometimes, you know, the younger you are, and I've door knocked for 30 years, and I'm not all that. I want to make sure Mikey knows that. It's not the smoothness or the grace it's the heart. Do you love that soul, and do you love Jesus, and you want to tell them what Jesus has done for you? That's all you really need to know. But I know, you know, I can talk, right? Just, you know, I can just talk. But, you know, I want you to know this. Our triumph is in Christ. I've been with more clumsy people when they've door knocked, and I've seen the Lord use them and not me. You know what I have to fight? I got this. Oh yeah, there ain't nothing new you can throw me. Oh yeah. I pause for effects. Cause, you know, when you've done it for 30 years, people say the same thing, you know, and you try to act like you're, you know, but what I have to understand is you see, I want to be where you're at, Mikey, where you know, man, I don't know what I'm doing. If they're probably going to go to hell after they talk to me, right? I thought that when I was younger, right? I'm dooming them, right? That's exactly where I need to be. Because you know what? If I think it's of me, I'm a fool. My triumph is in Christ. Mikey, I trust that you're truly saved. And you know what? You can tell somebody what Jesus did for you, can't you? You don't have to have anything memorized. You don't have to have a response to everything they say. You can just get back on track. Let me finish. I just want to tell you what Jesus did for me. You know, and so I'm still studying the Bible. I'm still trying to learn it. You know, but I can tell you what Jesus did for me. I can tell you how he changed my life. I can tell you it's real to me. I don't love Jesus because of my parents. I love Jesus because I knew this, that I was a sinner that deserved hell, and he gave me eternal life, and I love him for that. You can tell people about that, right? I want you to have the utmost confidence. Remember this. It's not you. It's the Lord that we triumph in. And you know, I love this. I love this because he makes us smell good. Isn't that good? I've always told you that our ladies are the aroma of the church, right? And the spirit of our ladies just can give our church a sweet smell or something different, right? And it is, you know, so I pray for our ladies because I believe this. Our ladies will be hugely impactful to the spirit of our church. You see, and it's very important, but what I love is, and I worry about this, and I'm still chiseling, you know, I can be a little bit rough at times, and I don't want to be rough. I want to be, you know, the best I'm going to get is be intensely gentle, right? Whatever that means. But I want to be gentle with people. I want to be gentle. I was blessed to preach the funeral of Neil's stepson's father on Friday, and it's, You know, it's just, it's an absolute thrill, absolute thrill. You say why? I don't like funerals. Funerals are a representation that death won again. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that death is the last enemy to be destroyed. But what I do love is this. I go in and I want you to know this. I love being uncomfortable. I didn't know anybody except Neil. And so, you know, I've had people, you know, and they don't know what I'm going to preach because I don't ask them. And I just, you know, they just know. And so I just go in and it's good for me, Mikey, because you know where I'm at? I'm where you were at Wednesday. And I want to be gentle but clear, right? And so I told some of our guys this morning, I said, I know that I was preaching to a lot of lost people. You say, how do you know that? Well, I preach enough funerals that, you know, I plant myself right by the casket. Nobody ever asks. You just kind of do what you, act like you know what you're doing. And nobody asks, you know. And so I tell people after I preach and I give them a clear presentation of how they can know they can have eternal life. And I tell them, I say, I have a little tract, a little pamphlets here. I'll give them to you. You can take them home and read them at your home. I said, because you don't have to come to church to be saved. You don't have to be baptized. None of that will save you. None of that will give you eternal life. It's not your goodness. And so I have these tracts, right? And so this time nobody came by the casket. So I'm like standing by the casket and nobody else is. But here's how I knew I had a bunch of lost people. Nobody would look at me. You know, they all do this. But I was greatly encouraged by this. Because I pray about this. I was far enough away and I wanted to get closer to them where they were greeting the family in the front row. But that would have been weird, right? So I'm not going to go stand in the greeting line. Four people. I praise the Lord for this. Four people came. And they still didn't look at me. They said, can I have one of those? I rejoiced over that. And I'm going to trust and pray that God will use that. And the tenderness of a funeral, I want to tell you this, our triumph is in Christ. I want you to know this, that God can use what appears to be a failure, and if you are serving the Lord with a clean heart and striving to obey Him, He'll use you. One of the greatest examples in modern time would be of Jim Elliot and Nate Saint. They went down to Ecuador and to... It's not the Alca Indians, but the Wadoni Indians, right? The Alca just means savage, right? So I've always called them the Alca Indians. My wife corrected me last night. She said, no, it's the Wadoni. I said, oh, the Wadoni. I'll make sure I get that right. They went down. This is in the 1950s, and they were trying to reach this tribe, this cannibalistic tribe for Jesus Christ. And these five men that went down there, and they had introduced themselves to them via plane and gifts were exchanged and they went there and so these men landed and they go and all five of these men were brutally butchered. They were killed. Absolute failure. Isn't that what it looked like? That's what it looked like. Let's be honest. I mean, it wasn't, I would have been like, wow, I wish I would have been Jim Elliot. Yeah, spear, you know, looks like failure. You got to wonder, you know, do you ever wonder like that? Well, how could God do that? Does their God really love them? I'll tell you this, Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, and those other three men that were on that beach that they were killed. That was one of the greatest times of missionary revival in the history of America. More young people and older people surrendered to the cause of missions because of the widespread publication and the knowledge that these men gave their lives for the very cause of Christ. And what God did is He turned what looks like human failure and He turned it into spiritual gold. And God used it in a great way. You see, I want you to understand this. If we looked at it humanly, we would say, what a waste of a life. These men left wives. They left children. It looked like, you know what? That was stupid. But they were obedient to the burden on their heart. You see, that's all that God asks us to do, is to be obedient. We don't have to be supermen and superwomen. We just need to understand this, that my victory is in Christ Jesus. I want to beg you this morning to get a hold of that. It ought to remove all fear. It ought to give us great love and great boldness to realize this, my victory is in Christ. I need to do things because I love Jesus. and he will be honored. My victory is in Christ. I tell people this all the time. Everything we do, I want us to do it with excellence. I mean, I want it to be good. I want this meal to be good. If hamburgers aren't right, JRL's at fault. No, I mean, but you know, here's the key. I want us to do this. I told Mikey this on Wednesday. I said, I want us to do everything with excellence. But I want us to understand this. Our excellence has nothing to do with it. I want to do it with excellence because I want to represent Jesus Christ. But I can be excellent and not have God with me, and it's an absolute waste of time. You see, what we got to do is make sure of this. Don't put your excellence ahead of the need that we have for the victory in Jesus Christ, because the only way we'll have success is through Jesus Christ. You make sure of that. I want us to be a church, and I want us to do everything with excellence, and I'm not saying we do everything with excellence, but that's the goal, is it not? Jesus said, be ye holy as I am holy. But understand this, the only way we have victory is through Jesus Christ. Don't get enamored with the talents and the skills and the gifts God's given you. Surrender them unto Christ and serve Him and honor Him with your gifts and talents. Don't be impressed with yourself. One of the best friends I ever had a few years ago, you know what he told me? I've told you this many times. He said, Steve, get over yourself. So I said, I'm getting rid of a friend is what I'm doing. See, no. He said, get over yourself. And you know this, if I woke up with non-scripture, I try to wake up and I try to have scripture run through my mind in the morning. And if I woke up with something that's not a Bible verse, that would be a great thing for me every morning. Get over yourself. It ain't about me. Every time I come into the pulpit, I need to be thinking, get over myself. It ain't about me. I want to beg you to understand this. Get over your failures. Get over your fears. Be willing to admit them. Be comfortable with that. I'm not saying that we should never be satisfied with sin. But we should understand our victory is only in Christ. Third thought this morning, I want you to see this. This is fascinating. Not only does he help us to smell good, but look at verse 15 and 16. I want to help you understand this a little bit this morning. He said, now he's speaking to them. He says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Look at verse 16. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? That great question. So let me just tell you what he's talking about in verse 15 and 16. Here's what he's saying. Paul is saying this, when we lift up Jesus Christ, and I do remind you of this, the number one privilege that we have, those of us that you say, I love Jesus, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, I have given Him my life, I'm born again, I've surrendered my life, I'm giving you all kinds of terminology just to make sure that you really understand what being a Christian is. Had the privilege of having lunch with two young men the other day, I think God's going to save them. They had never heard the gospel before. Shared the gospel with them. And one young man said, well, let me ask you a question. You ever hear of a lock-in? You ever hear of a lock-in? I said, yeah, I've heard of a lock-in. He goes, I've gone to two. And he said, they took me to a little room. They took me to a little room afterwards. And they had me repeat this prayer. He goes, but I didn't think that was real. He said, am I going to heaven because of that prayer? No. You see, We have to explain the gospel to people, right? But here's what it says. We are a savor of life unto life and a savor of death unto death. Here's what the Bible says. When it says who is sufficient for these things, this is heavy. This is heavy. When you and I share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's our number one responsibility, number one privilege, if you say you love Jesus, who are you telling about Jesus? It's really difficult for you to say you love Jesus and you don't tell anybody about Him. You know, it's not telling people about Jesus that gets us to heaven, but when you're saved, you gotta tell somebody. The Bible says this, that when I share the gospel with someone, it's not neutral. The effect of the gospel is not neutral. The effect of the gospel will either be used for the salvation of their soul, life unto life, or it'll be used for their spiritual death. A savor of death unto death. Now, when it asks that question, who is sufficient for these things? That's heavy. When you tell people about Jesus, you are with some, you are literally putting the spiritual nail in the coffin. That's what it's saying. That's hard, is it not? But what Paul is saying is this, is our victory is in Christ. And you understand, you'll see why he's telling them this. He is telling them this, that it is never out of place to tell people about Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's why. God receives glory from any witness of Jesus Christ that you and I provide. You understand? You know what we've thought? I ask people this all the time when they get on the bus. We go out on Wednesdays. We take the shuttle bus out. And I say, did you have any good visits? I try to explain to them, here's a good visit. When you get to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's a good visit. Now, I mean, the like, whoa, you know, awesome visit would be they got saved. They gave their life to Christ. But I ask them, do you have any good visits? It's a great visit when we get to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you know why? You know, my first objective is to glorify my Savior. And the greatest way I can glorify Jesus Christ is to tell other people about what He did for me. And you know this? I love this. The more people know me, the more they're impressed with Jesus Christ. You're like, what? Here's why. They're like, man, anybody that would save that guy, whoa, he loves him. It's not because they're going, man, he is a great Christian. You get to know me and you go, man, the love of God was deeper than I thought. Because he forgave me. He loved me. Isn't that awesome? He loved everything about me and he took my punishment. Isn't that awesome? It isn't because I deserved it. It's not because I was good. It's just because he loved me. I love that. And if I get a hold of that, I got to tell everybody. You know I'm a jerk, but I can tell you somebody that loves me no matter what. And his name is Jesus. And it's exciting to be able to tell people about him, right? But who is sufficient for these things? It is heavy. Remember this. This is important. When we tell others about Jesus, it's either the perfume unto life, the savor, or it's the perfume unto death. But it's a sweet-smelling savor to our Savior. You see, He will be glorified whether someone goes to heaven or whether someone goes to hell. That doesn't mean He wants anyone to go to hell. I want you to be clear. But He will be glorified because there is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And we ought to mourn. Our hearts ought to break. Our hearts ought to bleed for those that reject Christ. Their only destination is eternity, what the Bible calls the lake of fire. Final thing I want to finish with is, not only does God receive glory regardless of our response, but then Paul says in verse 17, and this is why we ought to proclaim the true gospel, he says this, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. But as of sincerity. Remember that word sincerity? I've told you this before. Sincere. It's the Greek word sincere. They would have pottery. And a dishonest salesman of pottery would have a crack in the pottery and they would put wax in it. And man, they were so good that you couldn't tell the cracked pottery from the sincere, the sincere pottery, the real deal. That's where that comes from. So Paul says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Now, here's why this is important. Proclaim a true gospel. How many of you in here, you say, I love Jesus. Wait, don't raise your hand yet. How many of you say, I love Jesus. I would love to lead someone to Christ. Would you raise your hand? Okay, that's good. All right, so here's the key. I think every true believer, you say, I would love to lead someone to Christ. But you got to do it honestly. You see, you got to do it without wax. And so here's what we have. In our day and age, many times, the gospel is cheapened. And I think it comes from a true motive. We want to see people know Christ and we want to see people go to heaven. Right? That's a good motive. But what we have to realize is our victory is in Christ. That it's not, you understand this. I've heard people say this when they share the gospel. Well, I failed. You didn't fail. If you shared the gospel, it's a savor unto life unto some and a savor unto death unto others. Proclaim the gospel. You see, if we put that mantle on us that say, oh, you know, how many gave their life to Christ tonight, right? Then all of a sudden we manipulate, we cheapen the gospel, do we not? Because we say, you know what? I want to see people saved. We have Vacation Bible School coming up. And I know this, if I ask every one of the kids, how many of you want to go to heaven? Everybody raised their hand. And if I cheapen the gospel, I could get everybody to do some kind of religious act, couldn't I? Children, man, they say, man, that guy, he's a big guy. And he must know what he's talking about because he's in front. You guys are skeptical. That's a good place to be. And so, but you see, that's not the true gospel. We must preach the true gospel, and I'll finish with that. When you tell your friends about Jesus, we'll see that this afternoon in Psalm 19. It says, in Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Before someone will understand the good news and appreciate the good news, that's what the word gospel means, they must understand their condition before God, and that's the purpose of the law. The law was given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. God's law is written on the heart of every man and woman in the universe. Every man and woman knows inherently in their heart what is right and wrong. I don't have to argue with people what right and wrong is. It's a waste of time. What I want them to understand is that wrong that they know is wrong, it's against God. Every single person somewhat intuitively understands this, that one day they will stand before God. You see, and the problem is, if we stand before God in our sins, then we are guilty of those sins because we've broken God's law, and God is a holy and just judge, and He must administer justice. He is required. He can do nothing else but be who He is, and He must administer judgment. You see, then, I tell them there's only one way to avoid judgment. I'll tell them somebody has to take their place. I'll ask people all the time, you think I could? I'm always fascinated because it usually tells me, no one's ever thought I could. So I thought, well, maybe no one, no, not you. And they're right. I couldn't take their place. Two reasons. One, I'm a sinner too. And secondly, I'm not eternal. You see, when someone dies in their sins, they must go to hell for eternity. Because that's the just punishment from God. It doesn't matter what we think or what others think. That's what the Bible says. I don't say that with joy. You see, that's the love of God that He wants everyone to understand that. He wants everyone to understand, hey, guess what? I'm holy and I'm just. I am love. But I cannot overlook your sin. But I've made a way. You see, when Jesus was on the cross, He was being punished. There are two alternatives for your sin. They were either be punished for eternity in hell, or they were punished on the cross of Jesus Christ. That's it. You see, we must tell folks. And I don't believe in this. I don't believe people are scared into heaven. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is the beginning. And there is a place to be afraid of God. Because He is holy and He's the one that we will stand before. And He's the one that will judge us. But no one will go to heaven because they're afraid of God. Oh, it may be the beginning. But it'll never be the reason. What I tell folks is this. One, you must be broken about your sin. The most difficult thing I have when I want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people is nobody thinks they're that bad. Preacher, I've not done these bad things. I don't deserve the wrath of God. That's not the way I interpret the Bible. It's really not interpretation. It's just what we really mean is I don't believe that. You see, the issue is that people are not willing to admit that they are broken. It goes back to the same thing we struggle with as Christians. We struggle admitting that we failed. You see, our victory is in Christ. We all want to achieve, but our victory is in Christ. I tell people this, the only way to heaven is you must turn from your sins, that's repent, and they must surrender. You see, that's the issue. They must give their lives over to Jesus Christ. They no longer have rights. He's their master. That's what stops everybody in their tracks. Everybody wants the ticket out of hell. Ticket out of hell! Everybody's buying. Ticket out of hell! The Bible says that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that means, Lord means master, Jesus means Savior. They only come together. I'll finish with this. You know, I've told this a long time ago. I had some teenagers that were burdened about their friend, and they called me like at 10:30 at night, and they said, can we meet with you? You know what I want to say. Absolutely. I'm like, yes. So I came to my office, and they brought this teenager, and I shared the gospel, and this kid, he was bright, he was sharp. He said, let me make sure I get this right. He said, what if I wait till I'm 80 to give my life to Jesus? Will I still go to heaven? And I said, if you truly surrender, yes. But I told him, here's the issue. Here's what you're thinking. I want to live for me. And all I want, preacher, is the ticket. I don't love Jesus. I don't give him my life. I don't want to live for Jesus. I want to live for me. I mean, you know, I'm glad. I'm happy for you, preacher. You go for it, my friend. You live for Jesus. I've got news for you. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a preacher. But I do tell you this. If you hold back 1%, you're not saved. He gets it all. Or you get nothing. You see, when we give him our lives, he gave me his righteousness. There's nothing good about me, but everything good about Jesus. And how can we not tell others when we've been given all the spiritual wealth in the world? You see, we're afraid. I don't want to fail. That's because you put too much on you. Just obey. Just obey. Just do what he says. You're going to talk on Wednesday. And you know what? I want you the entire time you're talking, remember this. Jesus, I am a failure. But I ask you to give the victory. You are in a great place if you have that spirit. I beg you this morning, if you're saved, let us remember our victories in Christ. If you're lost, I beg you, don't let fear, what people will think, just surrender. Give your life to Jesus. And then dive into his word, and you'll never regret it. Let's pray.